This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to hour number two of the show here, brought to you by PNC Bank. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Nine Yards Golf Lounge in Washington, PA. Joel Nelson is in the house behind the glass. He's taking over for Logan, who made his debut today, and thanks to Logan for what he did, and good luck at Waynesburg. In the meantime, we invite you to call us at 412-928-9370. That is the number of the call-in line. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. And the text line, as always, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. So we've been talking a lot about the combine, how much stock you put in it. I'm a big believer in production. I want to see stuff in a college career that makes me think the guy can handle the next level. This is useful, certainly. But for me, as much as all the 40-yard dashes and the high jumps and everything else they're looking for, all those kind of metrics, I want to meet with people and find out what's in their head. And I think that's probably one of the most important parts of this entire process, is to find out whether or not you're dealing with someone you want to deal with. And I think you can get that information in a going out to a dinner or 15-minute session, one-on-one with them, whatever the case may be. But the draft is coming up here in April. It'll be in Green Bay this year at Lambeau Field. And then next year, man, that's going to be fast, Joel. Time goes fast. We're in March already. So just over a year from now, we have the NFL draft coming to Pittsburgh for the very first time. And that should be a tremendous spectacle. I know already hotel rooms are gauging for a big influx of people from all over. And the thing about Pittsburgh, it's so centrally located that all these teams that have NFL teams can drive here. Fans can do it. It's going to be 4 days, a lot of entertainment, a lot of planning going on here. So we'll try to keep you updated on that. But I'm anxious to see that, and it could very well be that the Steelers get their next franchise quarterback in that draft in 2026. We also have the U.S. Open coming up here later this year. And as we move further into the golf season, we'll be talking to people who have a significant role to play in the U.S. Open at Oakmont in 2025. By the way, just one golf note. I don't know if you saw that Jake Knapp this past Thursday shot a 59. He was putting for 58 on the last. Now, he did that down at what used to be the Honda Classic. Now it's the Cognizant Classic. But the point is, you know, they're in a situation down there where that's one of the toughest golf courses. There's water and sand everywhere. I don't care where you shoot 59. To shoot 59 is a ridiculous thing to do. And that's what he did, and he has the lead after two rounds of that tournament. All right, let's get to the lines. A lot of things on the table here. We're talking about the Penguins as well. What would you do on March 7th? That's next Friday. It's the trade deadline. Steelers stuff as well. And Pitt. Can they get in? I doubt it, but they got to win today, and that's a tough thing to do against Louisville. 412-928-9370. We got Jeff in Jeanette, and now he's on the fan. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I don't have an opinion on the March 7th deadline, but I wanted to check your opinion. Years ago, whenever Jim Rutherford, mid-season, I think it was mid-season, he stepped down. Just your opinion, what do you think the reason, there might have been more than one reason, but why he left so abruptly after being so successful here for the years that he was here?
I'm sorry, I had an interruption. What did you say at the beginning? Who are we talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was asking about Jim Rutherford, Penguins, obviously.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and just your opinion. I know he abruptly left about, what, 4 years ago, whatever that was.
Right. I would have liked for him to stay. I thought he was going to. Yeah. He was very comfortable here in Pittsburgh. You know, I don't know. I've heard different theories. One of my theories that I've heard, and I could put some credence into this, is that maybe he was one of the guys who wanted to move on from, you know, Christopher Letang and Evgeny Malkin, and maybe there was a block in place for that not to happen. I don't know if that's the case. Whatever it was abrupt. There's no question. And I had a feeling he'd get back into it sooner rather than later, and he did in Vancouver, and he's done a pretty good job there so far, making them a pretty good team. So, yeah, it's funny how that happened, and then the subsequent Ron Hextall regime and now the Kyle Dubas regime. And Or maybe Jim just said, you know, maybe it's time to move on. I've done enough. We've won twice here. I did everything I could, and I don't know. I really don't know. I've tried to talk to him about it, and I've talked to him about a lot of things, but he doesn't like to get into that topic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this one,
what would you do, by the way? What would you do on March 7th? Would you make Raquel available for people? And what, I mean, to me, if you're going to rebuild, you have to do this. There's not many other things they can trade in their organization at this point.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of people left, you know, who I don't know what, if he has a no-trade clause or limited trade clause. I don't know. You would probably know that. But he might be the only asset, you know, him and Brian Rust. Does Rust have a trade clause?
He has some, yes. I don't know if it's a partial, I believe. But, you know, the point is, you can make a case that those guys should be retained and build around them if you had stuff to build around them. I don't know that they have enough to build around them. And their goaltending, more than anything else right now, has to be addressed in this offseason. I got to figure out what they got to do with it. And if you believe that Joel Blomquist is a guy, or if you believe that Philip Larson or Sergei Mirishov, any of those guys, I got to see it more before I believe it. I think there'll be some hard times there before you smooth things out and figure out a plan, you know, with goaltenders.
It would be tough because you Rust and Raquel, they may be the only two players who you might be able to get pretty good return on.
And well, that's, you know, my point, yeah. And you're not going to trade any of the other guys. Carlson, I'd like to somehow move if I could. And I think, you know, he has 8 or 9 goals now. He had a couple the other night. On a team that needs some offensive punch from the blue line, he could be the guy who delivers that. And if you can get the team to take him, you can even chip in half of his salary. I mean, it's going to cost you money one way or the other.
Isn't it hard to believe? He had like 100 and some, literally over 100 points as a defenseman, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, and he did with San Jose, but he was the only thing they had out there. So he was on the ice an awful long time. Points were piling up. He's a good offensive player. The problem is his defensive deficiencies really become a problem. If you count on him to be out there for 25 minutes a game.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping for the best. A huge Penguin fan. Always. I just hoping for the best. Hopefully they can turn it around ASAP. That goes without saying. But it's going to take a while. It's just, I just hope they can turn it around sometime.
Yeah, me too. I want to see playoff hockey. This will be 3 years in a row without it, Jeff. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I look forward to April, May. That, you know, that takes up my time with following hockey, and I want them to be involved in it. I don't think there's any question. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Thanks,
let's go out to Anthony in Oakland, who I did not meet the other night at the Fan 15. I was in and out of there, but I heard, Anthony, you were there.
Paul, oh my goodness gracious. You did meet me, Bob.
Where did I meet you?
You were standing, talking to the Ohio State fan, and there was a young lady there, and I was the black guy standing right next to you.
Well, you didn't recognize. No, I did. I don't. No, I was. The problem was when you start talking to a lot of people. I'm trying to focus the attention on whatever conversation I was having. So I wanted to talk to you. You should have hung around and dragged me over or whatever. I would love to have talked to you about what you.
We shook hands and everything, but you just didn't recognize me from the radio station. Yeah, I thought you had comprehended, and I saw you were busy, so I didn't want to interfere with what you.
We'll have to do that again sometime. I'd love to chat with you.
Oh, we will. Yo, anytime, Bob. Hey, Bob, listen. I'm disappointed with the Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization, period. Not just the Mike Tomlin half. But, I mean, how many times are they going to fail these surveys from the NFL Players Association? I mean, for goodness sakes, give the facility to Pitt. Let them have it all. You should have made arrangements to move to Cranberry if you're landlocked in Pittsburgh or Wexford. What are they doing over there? They're running it like it's Hooterville.
Well, I would like to know more details about who takes those surveys, because sometimes it's players who come and go, and you know, they see other teams. And listen, I agree. I think upgrades are necessary. I think they know that. In fact, I think there's some planning going on for that, Anthony. Whether or not that means they're going to have their own individual place or a specific place for Pitt or together again. But clearly the time has come for that to happen. But I also think players get very spoiled here. You know, not just here, but when I say here, I mean in sports today, where they see all the – you know, the gadgets and gizmos, and they want them all. And if they don't get them, they perceive that as not being taken care of. You know, they even gave the food a bad grade there. I've been over there. I've tasted it. Those guys do a wonderful job. I don't know what their expectations are. If you want 5-star Michelin chefs, then go out to Bellagio. You know, you're not going to get it at a facility, but you are going to get you know, people who take care of your diets and your nutrition. So I when I saw that grade, I said, this stuff, you know, come on. The facilities, no question, I think have to be upgraded, and I think they know that.
Yeah, I mean, but look, go adventures with one of these gambling sites. Go, you know, they're doing it all over the country.
Well, they already have a deal with BetMGM, I think.
Well,
I think it's a sponsorship deal. I don't know, but you can make it bigger if you want, sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is just now getting back to the player part. Look, Bob, you've been following this team as long as I have, and we know when something's not working anymore. And the philosophy of Mike Tomlin is not working in today's NFL. It was similar to what happened with Chuck Noll at the end, where Dan had to finally go in and say, Chuck, it's not working anymore. Remember, he started with his assistants, and then Chuck got fed up after going, you know, firing too many assistants, and he just finally retired. But you can't – this is unacceptable, Bob. You're losing – and the expertise is supposed to be defense, but the last five playoff games, you've given up 40 – almost – the 40 in the last one, you gave up 28, right. And you weren't even in that game.
No, that's undeniable.
I mean, how long are we gonna
those games in the playoffs are significant there. It's one thing to get there, but when you get there, you got to do more than they've done. However, Anthony, as you know as well as I do, they've given him a three-year extension. So, I mean, we're going to talk about this. I hope they make adjustments. What I hope moving on into this year, and I haven't seen any so far, but I want to see some adjustments to how they think offensively specifically and also defensively. You mentioned defensively. I thought one of the things we didn't see enough of was blitzing. I thought that was a key component, and when they've had success, to do it from areas you'd never see. And I thought it was pretty much not the case. It was more of a zone, you know, cover first kind of mentality. But when you don't get pressure, and if you don't get it, you're gonna let any good quarterback beat you down the field, or he can slice and dice you underneath. He can go along and do a lot of things. I want to see Minkah Fitzpatrick more involved and kind of figure out ways to get him involved other than being a cover guy in the back.
Well, look. Follow the Philadelphia script. Build up that defensive line. I mean, they rotate them studs in here, and I mean, they and then that's how you be. If you see if your objective, like it used to be for those teams when the Steelers were great, to beat the Steelers. If your objective is to beat Kansas City, the model has been shown from Tampa, and when they beat them in the Super Bowl, and the Eagles. Your four defensive linemen is all the pressure you need.
Right, but if you don't have them, and they don't have that right now, that's got to be, and that's why I think their first-round pick will be a defensive line player.
It has to be. First and second. You have to follow what the Rams did when they lost Aaron Donald. They went out and got two big studs, and they didn't miss a beat last year. And they were the closest team to almost beat the Eagles. So, and please, no Russell Wilson. I mean, how could anybody sit there and watch that five-game losing streak and know that he doesn't throw over the middle, know they took the moon ball away, and he looked like an average guy that just got off a bus?
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be Justin Fields if they're going to choose between those two and then figure it out as they go. But I would agree with that. So, Anthony,
thanks, man. Bob.
Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. And maybe one day we'll do a lunch or something, Anthony. I'd love to do that and get to talk to you even more because I know you have very good thoughts about a lot of things in Pittsburgh sports. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. So if you're looking at mock drafts, I look at these things mostly to just shake my head, I think. All these guys are very good at what they're doing and trying to analyze. But every day there's a new mock draft. So someone who picked Jackson Dart on one day at 21 for the Steelers will move off of that the next day. It's a game. People love to hear these kinds of things and then get in, you know, outraged at what you see. I don't think, in fact, I know, the Steelers will not take a quarterback in the first round. I would be totally stunned. Joel, would you be stunned if they took a quarterback in the first round?
I would be stunned as well, only if there's someone who is up high on their board and people didn't see that coming or whatever, but otherwise I would be pretty stunned. Especially since there are a lot of really good defensive linemen, and the Steelers could really use another wide receiver.
Yeah, they need both of those things. And you can even put cornerback in there depth-wise and somebody who can come in. So those are all ahead of a quarterback for now. And I say that knowing that they have none of their quarterbacks signed. So it is a very different kind of time. You got kind of spoiled knowing you had the same guy in there, number seven, every single year. This time it's a little different now, 3 years in a row, where you have uncertainty at the most important position. Even though I just said that, I wouldn't reach. And I think you know, Jackson Dart's a talented kid. Will Howard's a talented kid. You can go on. Jalen Milroe's a talented kid. Kyle McCorr, I'd like him out of Syracuse. He transferred there, and he was really good for them. There are a lot of guys who are talented, but can they take it to the next level? Until you know that, you know, you got to be absolutely sure. And maybe they're sure. Maybe there's somebody out there that really they believe can be that guy. I would be stunned at this year. But we'll see how it goes. But I would also expect we're in March 1st, on March the 10th, before this tampering thing starts. They better make sure they get somebody signed here, because you can run the risk if you don't want Russell Wilson and you do want Justin Fields, but you can't come to a deal before he becomes a free agent. It would be in his best interest to check all of that. I think for anyone who's knocking on that door, why not? You have an opportunity to gauge what the NFL thinks of you. Last year, they did not think much of Justin Fields because he was available for a sixth-round pick. This year, that may be different based on six games started here in Pittsburgh. 412-928-9370. We will come back with more calls. Just getting started here on hour number two up until 1 o'clock, and that's when we join the Pirates. Paul Skeens on the mound. I'll be anxious to see him, and he's going to be tremendous. I don't have any doubt about that. I think their pitching staff is going to be really good. They better get figure out a way to get more bats in here. It's kind of late in the proceedings to do that, but they got to figure out something at some point. They've ignored this entire offseason when it comes to legitimate bats. They got to figure out a way, because they could waste a lot of good pitching, and I hope that's not the case this year. 412-928-9370, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back on a snowy March 1st in Pittsburgh. New month already here. That means March. That means madness. That means tournaments will begin in a couple of weeks. Conference tournament. Pitt has some business to do, as they have fallen 4-10 in their last 14 games since early January. And so they've fallen out of this thing. And unless they do something drastic here, they're going to be out of it. They take on number 19, Louisville. That's tonight at 6 p.m. at the Yum Center. How about the Cardinals? 16-1 in their last 17. They're 22-6 overall. This after going 8-24 last year. Now think about that. 8-24. And now they're 22-6. They brought in Pat Kelsey after they fired their coach. He's from Charleston. Everyone on that roster pretty much left when they fired the coach, which is typical of today's college game. And so what he had to do is go and restock it. So he brought in a whole bunch of transfers, a couple from Charleston, where he was. And all of a sudden, with a whole new team, boom, here they are, 22-6. That bodes well for anyone who thinks that Pitt can change things around in a hurry. You're going to have to be very successful in the transfer portal. Not so much in the high school recruiting, although you'd like to get those guys, but given how quickly they may leave you, I don't know if it's worth the time anymore. 412-928-9370. Want to give a couple of NBA notes. Joel, I know you're a big NBA fan. You saw Steph Curry the other night go off for 56, but he hit 12 of 19 threes. The man is unbelievable. It doesn't take much for him to create a shot himself or get one, and how quick the release is.
When he's on one, he's on one. When he's hot, he's hot. And it is... The Orlando Magic caught him on a pretty bad day, which was also the 9th anniversary of the Mike Breen bang bang call from when Curry beat OKC.
That was the first double banger going on for
That's
Mike
right.
Breen. That's right.
First of many.
And he was excited. He's so fun to watch. And they have Jimmy Butler, makes them a better team. But last night I was watching the Cavaliers take on Boston. I was very interested in that game because Boston, defending champ, still very good. Build up a big 25-3 lead. And then Cleveland chipped away. They still were down 17 in the third quarter, came back and won that game. Cleveland Cavaliers are legit, and they made a great trade here recently to pick up Hunter to add to their, you know, they have some really good players on that team. Two of the best guards going with Mitchell and Garland. I think they can win it all. OKC and Cleveland seem to be the two teams that you would pick, and who would have thought that a few years ago?
You know? Isn't that something? I picked Cleveland to win the East this year at the start of the season, and it's looking great.
I hope you bet on it.
I should have.
You should have.
Because I felt pretty good about it, and right now they're probably, what, 7.5 games ahead of Boston now after last night's win.
I think it's important for them to know that they can go in there and win and beat them. I think they split their season series at 2-2 now, but
yes,
they need to prove that they can handle them. It's one thing to say you're a great team. It's another thing to say you can beat the defending champs. And so far, they've shown that they can certainly keep up with them. So they're 49-10. If you want to see good basketball, go up to the Quicken Loans Arena. It's a short drive if you can get tickets. Fun night. 412-928-9370. Andy is in McKeesport, and he joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Bob. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I don't quite understand the NFL poll that went out. Mike Tomlin was rated an A, and then just about everything else was D or F. And my thoughts on this are that the characteristics of a good leader are that they secure the objective and then look out for the welfare of the troops. And I'm looking at the objective in NFL football, I would think, is at least to make it to the playoffs and then make sure that your troops are taken care of. Now, I don't see how troops that haven't been taken care of and a leader that hasn't secured the objective don't mesh. I just don't understand.
First of all, that report card is just a bunch of players who, if they have a complaint about something, they're going to put it down. These players want to be coddled today, in my view, in a lot of different ways. They want all the best stuff in there. And fine, okay, give them what they need. They have to do it to compete with other things. But, you know, if you look at some of the ratings, again, I keep going to the food part of it. I know that they need upgrades over there, and that's what. And thank you for the call, Andy. This is how this works. You're going to get upgrades. But to criticize the food the way they did, I'm sorry. You talk about being spoiled. That's what those players who responded that way to me would be. They're given everything they can get over there, anything they want to eat. They take food with them all the time. They have it prepared specially for them. Please. Give me a break with these report cards sometimes. These players, I don't really care. Just go out and win. Ryan in New Jersey joins us right now. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, Bob. I just still want to recognize, it might be the last time we see it, but Malkin had himself a night the other day, and it was good to see. That being said, I want them to lose every game for the rest of the year, trade everybody. So
wait a minute. Wait. So March 7th, when you say trade everybody, you're not going to be able to trade certain people.
If you can trade, if you can get Russ to waive and trade him. If you can get Raquel, if you can trade Raquel, trade him. If you can trade anybody, well, it gets pretty thin after that. So move the assets you can move and get whatever you can. They're not close. I actually think, and I've called you, I don't know, for how many years saying Jari is worthless. I think they should send Ned down and play Jari. I really do. Because at this point, what the hell does it matter? You might as well play them. What are you going to do? Lose games? They're already doing that. So what's the worst that can happen? Because they're going to probably have to buy him out, but maybe he gets hot. Maybe you deal him. Maybe you eat some salary and deal him.
You think he can rejuvenate his career to the point where he can get back to that level?
I think if you trade him for 25 cents on the dollar, you might be able to do it. But that's better than eating whatever it is, 5.6 million over the next, 6 years. Spaced out, whatever it works out to be, 50% over twice the remaining contract, which would be like 3 years, I think is how it works on a buyout.
All right, What about Carlson? What would you do with him?
Carlson, they can't retain because they're retaining three guys, so they cannot. They would have to have a team like the Coyotes used to do, retain salary for them to move him. They can't do that. Who wants to eat salary as a third party for Carlson? Because then they would have to trade picks to get them to retain. So where are you at? You're back. They have to wait until July 1st. Then they can move Carlson because then their three retentions fall off. So, they're going to have to retain $3, $4, or $5 million, however much it is.
Well, that's better than $11 million. I'll do that.
It is for 2 years. They may keep them. I don't know. They're not in a good spot. The unfortunate part is I hear people calling all the time and saying, trade Malkin and build around Crosby. The Crosby era is over because it takes too long to do an NHL rebuild. I know the Caps did it. Very weird circumstances. You're not going to replicate that. There are two things that happened in hockey in the last 10 years that are weird. Vegas getting them stacking the expansion draft for them, which they stopped immediately after because the Kraken didn't get it.
Yep.
And the Caps doing this, getting Oshie and Backstrom to retire and have their salaries wiped. That is not going to happen.
But they were smart to take advantage of it. They were smart, and they also made a good trade for their goal. They had goaltending issues. What do?
They
made a shrewd trade, a guy who was being kind of blocked over there in Vegas, and they gave up a couple of third-round picks to get him. So – yeah. That was foresight right there. That's the kind of deal that they have just completely championed.
GM of the year. The guy did a fantastic job. They brought up the young coach. a ton of the problems. A guy called earlier and asked why Rutherford quit, and I'm thinking, like, well, I think it was clear at the time they picked Sullivan over Rutherford. They picked the coach's desires. Gee, if this sounds familiar in Pittsburgh, you know, I'm crazy. They picked the coach's wants over the team's wants, and I think that's why Rutherford walked. I don't think they were going to give him an extension. And that's – I think that was it. But, you know, a lot of the problems go back to Sullivan. I know he's coming off the high with the wave the flag, the, you know, the Four Nations and all that. But, you know, the speed game, the puck-moving defensemen, they don't have them. They don't have it. So you're just beating your head off the wall, the same as the run-first 13-12 only defense coach, which is completely out of date across town. You'll never – I mean, it's bad. I listen to you guys all week, and you, Joe, you touch on things – you know, about the state of the franchise. And you said Wednesday, I think it was Thursday. I'm more optimistic about the Steelers than the other two. Boy, that's a real, that's like.
I say that with respect to getting to the playoffs.
I think. Yeah, I know. But that, I mean, that's an ugly contest there because they're all in terrible shape.
It's not a good time in Pittsburgh sports. I don't think there's any question about that. But it's kind of the cyclical nature of sports. And I realize that you try to avoid that at all times, and everyone has an answer, but that's the way it goes sometimes. But I don't know how the Penguins are going to get themselves back in that position quickly. I think it's really difficult to do.
It's going to have to be an entirely new era, which means you're going to roll the GM, you're going to roll the coach. I just don't think they're 2 years away. And I think a lot of people are assuming as long as you got Sid, he's great. He might play another 5 years. He's an all-timer. That's not a team. That's not a winning team. That they had the most impressive team, I think, of their entire tenure, and that's including 90. I'm old enough, you know, to be alive and conscious and at the games for 91, 92, 93. They had the best team ever, in my mind, in 2016. The other team never touched the puck. That's where the myth of Matt Murray came from.
Terrific.
They never touched the puck. You know?
I remember that Game 5 in Pittsburgh. They should have won the Cup on home ice, and the only reason they didn't was because of Martin Jones. Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, one thing, but thanks for the call. I appreciate your time, as always, Bob. At the top of the show, you were talking about the Pirates bringing in a hitter, but I missed it because I was cleaning out my attic. Were you talking about Vlad Guerrero?
I did that last week, and that's what I know it's kind of crazy. What?
He's going to Boston. Boston's in a position where they have a very highly rated farm system. They have a bunch of prospects, even though they traded a few to get Garrett Crochet. Guerrero has expressed his interest because his dad loved Boston. And his dad already played in L.A. for years and didn't really win anything.
Okay, but if it's not him, if it's not him, right, my point is they can afford a $25 million a year player or a $40 million a year player.
Absolutely.
And that's why I say it's almost like, oh, my God, that's sacrimonious. You can't bring this up. You know, it's ridiculous. So, anyway, I got to go. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it, Ryan. I hope you have a lot of luck with your closet or attic, whatever it was you were cleaning out. Let's go to Neil and Butler. Neil joins us here on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
I just want to talk about the Pirates. Jason Mack had a thing the other night where rated the three sports teams, which one is in best shape, which one isn't. You know, they're all about the same right now. But if you think about some of the true trades that have been made, Ben Cherington has done nothing. Luis Ortiz might be the only guy that he got in here that was an international player that he developed. I don't see one on the horizon. You know, like the Pedersen trade with the Penguins, they didn't give up much for him. You look back with A.J. Burnett, Francisco Liriano. I mean, just, you know, find a way. And to give up three players, two pitchers that are in the top 15, and Luis Ortiz for Spencer Horowitz, that's a joke. You look back at his time in Boston when he got rid of Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett. He got basically Troy Loney back. James Loney, sorry. It's just, I think they can do better. Especially the Pirates right now.
Well, I'm curious. What did Jason say? Which team is in better footing right now? Which did he say?
I forget how he rated them. He thought, I think he said the Penguins were, believe it or not. I don't want to speak 100% for him. He was basically trying to get people. I got on maybe 6:15.
And Neil, I think that's a good topic. Which one is closer? Because I do think that they're all kind of dealing with their own situations. But when it comes to Penguins, you need a farm system. You have to have players down there. They're trying to replenish that, but that is not an overnight kind of situation. That's why I think it's going to be difficult unless they have money to spend, unless they create more cap money to spend, and that means moving on from some of these players who have $5 and $6 million contracts. If they can't do that, I don't know how they can immediately, even if you get a lottery pick this year, I don't think this year has a generational type of player. You could have a good player, but that player could be 3 years away from playing here.
Oh, you know? Yeah, they got how many first-round picks in the next 3 years, or how many picks in the top three rounds?
Yeah, they have 15 in the top three, but right. Even top three, how many third-round guys make it in the NHL, and how long does it take for them to get here?
Well, a long time. You got to be shrewd, and that's where you know we'll have to see about Dubas. You know, some of the moves he's made so far have been questionable.
Yeah,
Ben Carrington, same thing. And Mike Tomlin, it's like they just want to live for you know, play middle, draft middle, stay middle.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Guy in California. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, you know, as far as the Penguins go, you know, supposedly with all their talent, the Penguins are this offensive juggernaut. But there's some real culture problems with this team. I mean, you know, look at the number of third period collapses this team has had. And then you look at the number of losses, three or more goals. I calculated 19 times this season. That's the fifth worst in the league. Only teams like San Jose and Chicago, the Kraken and Nashville are worse. And then, you know, obviously you can blame the goalie and the goalie situation with the save percentage. And the save percentage is like 881 and the league average is 893. But which just brings me to the final point that, you know, when you look at hockey as it is now, you look at guys like Ovechkin, he somehow has managed to thrive in this new era of hockey. I mean, just real quick, you know, he's only, a dozen goals away from Gretzky's record.
Yeah, and he could do it here in Pittsburgh at the final game of the year. Who knows? Guy, I'm up against the break, so thank you for the call. I appreciate it, but your point being there, but they redid their team, and they were very fortunate. They had a couple of guys who got rid of their contracts as a retirement, and didn't count against their cap. They went out and, you know, they have some young kids. They went out and made some shrewd moves. They made a shrewd trade, and here they are, one of the best teams with a young coach. So it can be done. That's a meteoric kind of rise from where they were, I thought, but pretty good job by the Washington Capitals. We got to take a break. Cousin Eddie, hang on. You'll be first up when we come back. 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompiani Show on a Saturday in March. Another month has come as February goes away. So quickly it happens. We'll be back with more right after this. Running out of time here. Joel Nelson behind the glass. Bob Pompiani here until 1 o'clock. We have Pirate Baseball coming up. Right now we're going back to the fan hotline. Cousin Eddie joins us right now. Hello, cousin.
Bob, how you doing?
What's up?
So, all right, I'm going to talk Flaccos, right? I'm a 70s guy, so I grew up in the 70s. The ups, the downs, and everything. So the 70s Pirates had the hitting and the pitching, right?
Yep.
The hitting machine, whatever they were called. They were the hitting machine. But now this guy, Derek Shelton, has all these great pitchers on his team right now. We need one more good hitter to put us over the top.
I would suggest two.
Well, maybe two, but I think Derek Shelton has never been on the hot seat because they never had a good team. This is the year he needs to manage because I believe this team can make it as a wild card. Let me know what you think.
Thanks, cousin. Eddie, appreciate that. I think they can if they get timely hitting. They're not going to get consistently good power hitting, especially, but if they get timely hitting – because I suspect with this pitching staff that they should be in most games. And if you're in most games, then it's going to take a key hit along the way. Do they have that in their system? I don't know. Who among them? Is it Cruz? Is it Reynolds? Andrew McCutchen? I mean, it's the same group of guys we've been talking about. They haven't really upgraded there offensively at all. That's what's going to be the difference. And if they do not make it to the wild, I think they should. I think realistically their goal should be to be in the playoffs. I think people who observe the Pirates should believe that. It's too long. It's year six of this whole stuff. You got to do it somewhere. They did nothing in the offseason that makes me think they're going to be able to close that gap. However, I wish they did. Are there more options out there? Maybe. We'll see. Bob in Springdale joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob. Hey, I was reading something the other day about Rick Pitino. He wants to combine the ACC and the Big East in basketball. What do you think?
I wouldn't be against that. First of all, I think he's done a heck of a job at St. John's this year. I mean, he has come in there, and with the help of the transfer portal, he has just gone out and turned them into a contending team, not just in the Big East, but I'm talking about national contender for a championship. So, yeah, right. There are too many. I think the conferences have to be pared down. There are going to be more of it. We've seen it already. How many of these football conferences have how many teams in it? 22, 18? So
yeah, exactly.
The way it's changed, I would not be surprised me if they figure out a way to consolidate and bring teams or conferences together to get the best out of them.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Bob. Rick Pitino, boy, he's made a big comeback. You know, this is a guy who was at one point was, you know, all the scandals about what was going on in his own personal life, and he can coach. I don't think there's any question he can coach. And his son will probably be the successor there at St. John's whenever that happens. But watch out for them. They're a legitimate team. They got some good guards. They got some big play inside. And that's what Pitt is missing, quite frankly. They're missing consistent play inside. They don't have big guys enough to deal with what some of these other teams in the ACC have. And they're going to find out a tough opponent today, and that would be Louisville coming up 16-1 in their last 17. They're 22-6 overall after going 8-24 last year. Pat Kelsey should be a college coach of the year this year. What he's done at Louisville, given where they were, given where they are. So, you know, bottom line there is I think Pitt's going to have a hard time today. They're heavy underdogs in this game. Next week, they're going to have to win a couple before they go to the ACC tournament, and I suspect they're going to have to win the whole thing. We'll see if that's even possible. But they got some work to do in this offseason, there's no question. And, you know, Jeff Capel has a deal that runs all the way through 2030. So the only way out of there, and same with Pat Narduzzi, is if you're interested in making a buyout, if you want to make a change. And they have a new AAD. Will he be – is Alan Green capable of coming in saying, I want to make a change and I need to get the money to do it? That's a hard thing to do when you're new on the job and you're trying to fundraise for other projects, Olympic sports, Victory Heights, trying to come up with NIL money. I don't know, Joel, if I would want that job these days, you know? That's a hard – it's almost like you got to do much more than, you know, 20 years ago an athletic director was responsible for.
I would say so. It's so much different. So much different.
And it's all about fundraising more than anything else. You got to be connected. 412-928-9370. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you to all of you who called. Those of you who did not get through, I apologize. Try again. And I'll be on most Saturdays from time to time until I find that it's just too much of a commitment during some weekdays as well. But I always enjoy the give and take, and thank you for calling and making it all possible. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks to our sponsors once again, PNC Bank, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Nine Yards Golf Lounge. For Joel Nelson, I'm Bob Pompiani. Have a great day. We got Pirate Baseball coming up next. Paul Skeens on the mound against the Baltimore Orioles right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.